We can use it to improve our lives, and through that we can improve our spiritual community. The surprising reality is that it may very well be that the best way we can unlearn this all too human thing is by playing video games. I know that's kind of weird, but stick with me here. Let me first acknowledge that we tend to have this rather negative point of view about playing games. And you can see it just in the way that we use language with the word game. Even though a person is technically following the rules, when we say that they are gaming the system, we think of it in a negative way. And at the same time, we tell people that they need to start playing the game as a way of expressing that they should do whatever it takes to succeed. You have to be on your guard when you're around people that play games. We tell folks to stop playing around. This isn't a game. And we all know all too well that video games are clearly ruining our kids and the rest of society. The point is, when you pay attention to our language, we tend to have more negative connotations with gameplay than we have positive ones. But I'd like to tell you about a trip and an experience that I had just a few years ago. I was fortunate enough to be invited along as a consultant for the opening of the San Francisco Theological Seminary's Center for Innovation in Ministry. Now, the keynote speaker was, of all people, a video game designer. Her name was Jane McGonigal. Now, don't just think successful gamer here. We're talking about someone with a PhD from the University of California at Berkeley, who's consulted with and developed workshops for more than a dozen Fortune 500 and Global 500 companies, including Nike and Disney and Microsoft and Nintendo. She's even taught game theory at UC Berkeley. So we're talking about the real deal here, folks. To describe her as a futurist, as many people do, is actually understating her vision, her education, her ability to inspire us all to become our better selves and to create a better world. She has a few TED Talk videos, and in her most popular one, Dr. McGonigal speaks about her research and study, which have led her to discover that while playing games, many of us become the best versions of ourselves. We are inspired to collaborate and to cooperate. When we are in game worlds, we are, as Dr. McGonigal says, and I'm going to quote her here, the most likely to help at a moment's notice, the most likely to stick with the problem as long as it takes, to get up after failure time and time again and try again. And in real life, when we face failure, when we confront obstacles, we often don't feel that way. We feel overwhelmed. We feel overcome. We feel anxious. Maybe depressed, frustrated, or even cynical. We never have those feelings when we're playing games. End quote. All of those life skills are important, and they can play important roles in making us healthier people and as a healthier community. But I'd like to share some very specific thoughts briefly about one of the specific areas that she quoted in that quote. That specific thing is failure. More specifically, it's the fear of failure. Having worked at six different churches over the last few decades, my observation has been that stagnation is one of the key elements in stunting the growth that is attributing to a shrinking church. Put simply, stagnation is stagnating. We're stuck. We're afraid to move forward, and we're afraid to move forward because frequently we're afraid to try new things. You've heard it a million times. We've never done it that way before. And somehow, oddly, that's the end-all, be-all of all church discussions. Once it's said, the discussion's over. Why are we, the church, so afraid of trying something new? I believe it's the fear of failure. As always, there are exceptions to the rule, but my experience serving in churches in the South has taught me that in most of them there is a strong belief in the providence of God. That is how much some folks believe God actively participates in making things happen in our lives. And it can lead to a very unhealthy reluctance to taking a reasonable risk or even risking failure. In those churches, there seems to be this underwriting assumption that if the church takes an action, it needs to be certain that that action is blessed by God. That alone isn't an unhealthy perspective. If anything, I'd agree. Yes, we need to try to do what it is we believe God is calling us to do. How they measure whether or not the action is actually blessed by God is sometimes less than helpful, though. Frequently, we allow the success or failure or an action to point to whether or not it was God's will. This perspective not only forgets the historical reality of how often the church has failed and ultimately made better choices and come out after the failure stronger, it also supports a belief in the providence of a very heavy-handed and less than loving God. It can also lead to adopting the all too easy out that says, God works in mysterious ways. Frankly, neither of those perspectives work for me. Us here at Presbyterian Church of the Covenant, we tend to not get caught up in whether or not something is blessed by God. But we do. We do have our own hesitations about trying something new. Everything from the classic, we never have done it that way, to the humanistic, what's in it for me, to the more pragmatic, we just don't have the people or the energy for that. However you approach it, there is this reluctance to trying new things. And it seems part of that reluctance is connected to the fear of failure. So let's go back to the gamers. As Dr. McGonigal pointed out to us in her keynote address, gamers are willing to fail 80% of the time. And there's clearly no fear of failure there. As a sometimes gamer myself, I'd go as far as to say that sometimes we gamers want to fail. Well, not exactly want to fail, but we become willing to fail. And why? Because that's how we learn. That's how we learn. Theologically, I'd put it this way. Failure is not judgment about whether or not our actions are blessed by God. Failure is simply a blessing of more knowledge. When we fail, we have the opportunity to gather information, to try again, possibly fail again, and then gather more information so that we can keep retrying until we succeed. From a macrocosmic point of view, that's ultimately still success. Now, are we actually scared of failure? Well, for the most part, obviously we're not. We do, however, tend to go out of our way to avoid it. I can't help but think we need to learn to embrace failure and to celebrate what we learn from it. And surprisingly, as I started off by saying, a really good place to start unlearning our fear of failure is something that many of us pass a certain amount of judgment over. The video games that the very generations that we love to learn to connect with are already playing. For heaven's sake, our church is a Pokestop. If you don't know what a Pokestop is, just come talk to me afterwards and I can tell you. So anyway, I hope you fail. I hope you fail. I hope you learn from it. And I hope you fail and learn from it as many times as it takes to learn something new. And to begin to embrace the gift of failure. We now enter into a time where you have the opportunity to respond to my talk with your thoughts or questions. I just remind you to do keep your responses as concise as possible so that all those who might want to participate are given the opportunity. Or those who have thoughts or questions. Right here. Sir, go right ahead. She's going to hand you a microphone.
In Weight Watchers, they say there's no such thing as failure, only feedback.
There you go. That's it. Feedback.
My experience in my business life was not so much a fear of failure, but there was a fear of success. Failure doesn't cost you anything. Success can cost you big parts of yourself. And people often don't react well to things that succeed if it's different from their expectations. And I've seen that go on right here.
Here we go, down front.
Hi, I'm David, and I remember some of the video games I've played, you had a number of lives. And if you screwed up and got killed, well, you got another life. So I don't know how we can translate that into...
Well, it's the same as just another chance. In life, if you screw up, you get another chance.
Hi, I'm Kate. I always think of one of my favorite quotes by Thomas Edison, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said when he was trying to invent the light bulb, I didn't find 1,000 ways to fail to find a light bulb. I encountered 999 ways not to make a light bulb.
I'm Vance, and I remember when I was learning to ski, one of the things that I heard frequently was, if you're not falling down, you're not getting better. As we get older, the consequences of falling down become more severe.
Indeed. All the way over here.
Good morning, I'm Morgan. There's an online writing course that I'm participating in right now, and in the introduction, one of the things that the facilitator says is, you know, we are coming back down to earth. We will not arrive intact. Basically what we're learning is that, you know, to shift our focus from arrivals and destinations and vindication to deepening experience. And I think that's something that how failure can serve us is to help us deepen our experience as opposed to confirm that we were right. So.
Very good. Thank you. Are there any others?
Mark, yeah. What do you see as the church moving forward from what you just stated and where we are and how we move forward? That seems to me be the thing that concerns me.
Sure. And I think part of all I'm trying to say right now is that part of it is being open to possibilities, even if they seem scary or unusual or different or like they're bound to not work, to be open to, well, if we feel like it's what we're supposed to be doing, let's give it a shot. And our decision-making is important.
Well, I actually saw that, the TED Talk version of that. I did, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it really is.
So I've added to my itinerary today to go home and play games with my two children.
There you go.
But what stood out to me regarding failure is when you do go through a failure, the emotion of it, the feeling of disappointment, everything that comes along with that causes you to revisit everything and try to learn from it is a really great experience. So I definitely understand that. And it also, as a parent, tells me let them fail as much as they can to learn from that don't be there to try to save everything, but let them learn, let them grow from that. Yeah. So I really receive that.
Yeah, that's what I do with my kids. I try to teach them that to not fear failure. Not to fear it, but not to feel bad about themselves over it, but to look at it as a learning experience.
As a learning experience.
Yeah. That's great. I love that.
Hi, I'm Wayne, and thank you for such an awesome message.
Thank you.
On a personal note, as a child, I made the Dean's List, which was the D's list. My report card was always D's. My home environment wasn't conducive for I say, learning progressively in reading. My father raised six children alone, and he had an eighth grade education, so his life was spent on providing. But failure, I became acquainted with after failing test after test after test. And somehow or another, inside of me, something clicked. After I finished up high school, I finally made it through high school. I failed third grade. I failed 11th grade English, so I couldn't march with my class at Dudley High School, which was a humiliating experience emotionally for me. And from that, I think what pushed me beyond failure helped me to see the importance of it. After I got grown and I went on to college, then I really made the Dean's List. When you have a good instructor like David, you can make Dean's List. But I learned that it truly a blessing. I think the worst part of it was my religious orientation as it was relating to failure as being not God and not blessed and not this, that, and the other, and which created a fear that if I don't pass, I'll never get it. I won't have it. I won't make it. I've lost. And so I'm appreciative. Thank you. I'm going to preach that.
I appreciate that.